Well, amen. Praise the Lord for that message of song this morning. What a blessing that is if we would just but keep that in our hearts and our minds all the time. What a friend we have in Jesus. Have your Bibles with you this morning. If you look with me to the book of Acts and chapter 14. Acts and chapter 14. We'll be reading verse 8 down to verse 19 this morning. Acts chapter 14. Paul, on his missionary journey, comes to Lystra. Acts chapter 14, verse 8 down to verse 19. If you'll stand with me, we'll read the Word of God together this morning to find what God has for us through this passage of Scripture this morning. Verse 8. And there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked. The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him and perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, "Stand upright on thy feet." And he leaped and walked. And when the people saw what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices, saying, in the speech of Lycaonia, "The gods are come down to us in the likeness of men." And they called Barnabas Jupiter and Paul Mercurius, because he was the chief speaker. Then the priest of Jupiter, which was before their city, brought oxen and garland unto the gates, and would have done sacrifice with the people. Which when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of, they rent their clothes and ran in among the people, crying out and saying, "Sirs, why do ye these things? We also are men of like passions with you, and preach unto you that ye should turn from these vanities unto the living God, which made heaven and earth and the sea and all things that are therein, who in times past suffered all nations to walk in their own ways. Nevertheless, he left not himself without witness, in that he did good and gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. And with these sayings, scarce restrained they the people, that they had not done sacrifice unto them. And there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium, who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead." I'd like to preach a message to you this morning that I've entitled, "God's Message Rejected." God's Message Rejected. And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we do bow before you this morning, we thank you for this, another opportunity just to be in church, to sense your presence in this place, to worship you as you have given us commandment to do so. And Father, as we have assembled here, I just pray for each one that's here, God, that you would give each one of us that ear to hear what you have for us today. I ask that you would use me once again and as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. So Paul comes to Lystra, and Paul, as he is known to do in every city that he would go into, he would have a message, a beginning message that he would preach to all the cities, because he's taken the gospel to the world, a message that they had not heard before. And so no doubt Paul would have a basic gospel message that he would present first of all into every city that he would go into, because people are the same. The message of God needs to be heard, and people get saved the very same way, no matter what their background, no matter where they live in on planet Earth. We know that people need to receive Jesus Christ in order to be saved. And so after Paul finishes his first message there, he looks upon a cripple man who no doubt had been listening intently. Verse 9, the Bible clearly says that, "The same heard Paul speak." And so Paul had seen this man, how he had just received what Paul had presented in the gospel message there in Lystra. And as Paul looks at this man, Paul, being led by God, instructs him on how to receive a miracle from God. Somehow the Spirit of God had led Paul to realize that God was going to heal this man of his crippledness, and he would be able to walk after Paul would instruct him to just by faith trust in God and get up and walk. So verse 11 through 13, after the people see this, they obviously did not fully understand Paul's first message. But they did understand that this was a crippled man who had been crippled from birth, who had never walked before. And as Paul was there, and after the message, we find that this crippled man, after receiving instructions from Paul, was able to be healed. And now this man that had once been crippled is now up and running around and walking. So they obviously did not fully understand Paul's first message, but they were excited over what they saw and wanted to worship Paul and Barnabas as small letter G gods. Wanting to worship Paul and Barnabas as small letter G gods helps us understand they did not understand the message. Verse 14, we find when Paul and Barnabas realized what was happening. See, the people, the Bible said, they spoke in Lyconia. So evidently, Paul and Barnabas was relating to them, I don't know, with an interpreter, or they had known some of the language, but then when they got excited, have you ever heard somebody that's national language, and then what they understand to be, and they've learning English, but when they get excited, they always go back to their national language? And when they get excited and you try to listen to what they're saying, you're thinking, what in the world are you saying? You thought you knew Spanish until they get excited about speaking in Spanish. Amen? Okay, and so we find this, and this is what's going on there. The people saw this miracle of healing, and they were so excited, and they reverted back to speaking in their national language. And Paul and Barnabas did not fully understand what they were saying until they wanted to worship them as gods. And they was bringing sacrifices out to sacrifice unto Paul and Barnabas as gods. So when they realize it, in verse 14, they visually let them know that they had misunderstood who they were. Look at verse 14. It says, when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of, they rent their clothes. They rent their clothes and ran among the people crying out. Now, understanding this, they might not have understood their language, and they realized at this time they didn't understand the first message, but Paul and Barnabas says there's no way that we're going to allow them to sacrifice animals and to worship us as gods. And so they did something that would have been, world known as when a person would tear their clothes off and run, until that was a sign of repentance. That was a sign of wait a minute, listen here, you've misunderstood. This is wrong. What you're getting ready to do is wrong. And so they got their attention by visually tearing off their clothes in a sign of repentance and running and say, no, you can't do this. This is against the very God that we represent. Amen. Verse 15 to verse 18, and we're going to come back to this, but this is Paul's biblical message that would be rejected. Remember, the title is God's Message. And so now Paul wants to make sure that they understand God's message, a biblical message to these people at Lystra. And so the second message is someone that Paul made sure that they would understand, but they would reject it. In verse 18, the Bible says, and with these sayings, after Paul's second message, the Bible says, scarce restrained they the people. That word scarce right there means barely. with much difficulty. The people, Paul said, you cannot look to us and worship us as gods, and you cannot sacrifice these animals as unto us as gods. And the people were saying, wait a minute, we want to. Why would you not want this recognition? Why would you not want to be lifted up and be worshiped as gods? This is something we want to do. And Paul would not, he scarcely, the Bible says, with much difficulty says, you cannot do this. This is against the very God that we represent. And so he did convince them not to, but he barely kept them from doing this. Can I tell you, they wanted the benefits of God without the message of God. I find that's today. They saw with their eyes a man who was lame, had never walked. I mean, they grew up around this man. They knew that he was crippled. He had never walked. He was born this way. And after Paul and Barnabas, after they preach this gospel, and after Paul tells him, all you have to do is have faith and you can stand and you can be healed, God is going to give you a miracle healing. And they saw this man, God perform a miracle, and now this man was walking, and they said, whoa, we want that. We want to add your small letter G, God, with the rest of our small letter G gods and make that a part of gods. Make that a part of our religious beliefs. But Paul would say, our God is not a small letter G God. Amen. Our God is the only true God. Amen. And even though they wanted the benefits of God, once they heard the message of God, they rejected it. And the one that they were going to worship, they turned around and looked to stone to death because they rejected it. People today want the benefits of God without the message of God, and they reject the message. They want heaven without salvation. They want heaven based on where I'm a good person. If heaven's real, surely a loving God could not send anyone to hell. And so we believe in a loving God that's going to allow everybody go to heaven, no matter what they believe. That's not the message of the Bible. Heaven is a benefit. No doubt heaven is something that everyone wants if you understand that heaven is real. But you can't reject the message and what you have to do to be saved in order to benefit and receive heaven. Many people want answers to prayer. They want to believe that their prayers are being heard and their prayers are being answered, but without obedience. If you study the message of God, you study the Bible, if a person is not being obedient to God and obeying the commandments of God, God does not hear their prayer. And they reject that message and they want to live their life as if their prayers are being heard. But you can't receive the benefits without the message. People want to believe and want to think that all things are going to work out for good in my life. No matter what tragedy comes and no matter what happens to me, all things eventually that's going to work out for good. That's a benefit for the believer to know that they are going to work out for good if you love God. If you do not love God, listen to me, that's not going to work out for good. You cannot claim that whatever comes into your life is going to be for good, because many times it's not. It's Satan looking to devour, to steal, to kill, and destroy. Outside of God, it's not for good. But if you want to claim the benefits that everything's going to work out for good, then you have to receive the message to those who love God. Wow. Yeah. So they rejected the message and stoned Paul. Now God would lift him up. They think they killed him. They took him by his heels and drug him outside the city. The very same one. Just a few hours before, they wanted to worship him. And because he said, no, that's not the message of God. Let me give you the message of God. They rejected the message. And those very same people who wanted to worship him, grabbed him, stoned him to death, grabbed him by his heels and drug him outside the city. And they would drag him outside the city after stoning so that the wild animals, the dogs, could eat him. And people could see what would happen when you got stoned. They drug him outside the city. Of course, we know that God had future plans for Paul, so God resurrected Paul. But the message, that's the story. That's what God gives us. The message is they rejected it. They rejected Paul's biblical message. What was that? I love the message that Paul gives. The second message they understood. He made sure that they would understand it. The second message, first of all, verse 15. He comes within there and tells them they can't worship because that's opposite the God that they serve. And the Bible says, and saying, sirs, why do you these things? We also are men of like passion with you. The first message was, no man is to be worshipped as God. The Bible says in Romans 2:11, there is no respect of persons with God. God does not have hierarchy in His people. God does not say, well, I'm going to take this individual and I'm going to set him above everybody else, and we want you to look to this person and kiss his feet, kiss his hands, and worship him as a God. Most all other religions have some type of hierarchy that the people are expected to bow down before. And the first message that Paul wants to get them to understand, listen to me, we're just like you are. We're sinners saved by grace. No man is to be worshipped as God. This is the message of Christ. Look back to me, with me to Matthew chapter 23. Matthew chapter 23. Jesus very clearly reveals this to his disciples and to others around him. Matthew chapter 23. In verse 9, Jesus here is teaching them, and he says, and call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your father. Now, the father had a position over the children of authority, and they were dependent upon him. The Bible says, don't look to be dependent on any man. Don't look to any man as your authority over your life. That's what he's saying right here. The position that the Pharisees had in their lives is that of authority, of that as you do as I say, I have the power to tell you to decide whether you go to heaven or go to hell. I have the power, and some churches want to say, we have the power to either send you to purgatory or to send you to heaven or to do whatever we will to whatever you do. We have the power to make that decision. Listen to me. There is nobody that has the power except God. So he says to them, and call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your father which is in heaven. Neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant, and whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. He's changing things around, isn't he? They're thinking, wait a minute, that's unlike any other religion that we've ever heard of. All other religions that we know of have hierarchy, and everyone in that religion would want to be worshiped, and everyone in that religion would want to be placed above everybody else and be served. But Paul says our God is different. A biblical message is we're all sinners. There's only one God. There's only one Savior. There's only one Holy Spirit. He dwells within all of us. Jesus established positions of responsibility, but no hierarchy. So, the very first biblical message was, you have to give up your hierarchy positions. You have to give up establishing yourself as someone that the other people come and bow down to. It gets the leadership thinking about whether I want to step down from the position I have and give that to God. That was the first biblical message. Can I tell you, that's still the biblical message. Yeah. You see, in Christ's church, he gives positions of responsibility. The pastor has a position of responsibility, a position to oversee, a position to keep the church going in the direction God wants it to go. But listen to me, I'm no different than any one of you. I'm just as much a sinner as you are. Hey, man, I've got a sin nature just like you do. I can make mistakes, and I do. Just ask my wife. She reminds me all the time. So, I just praise the Lord that God's given me a position, but this position is not to be worshipped. This is a position that allows me to better serve. A greater opportunity to serve. Well, that's the first message that he has given that they understand. The second message is found in verse 15 as well. Look there, back there with me. Acts chapter 14. This is the gospel message. This is what God has established. This is what Jesus was telling them to go out and tell all people. In verse 15, he says, "We also are men of like passion with you and preach unto you that ye should turn from these vanities unto the living God, which made heaven and earth and sea and all things that are therein." There are no wooden gods. There's only one true God who created all things. All other beliefs are vanity. Now, wait a minute, they're thinking, now we have all kinds of gods. We have all kinds of pagan idols, and we pray to all these Greek gods and goddesses. Greek mythology goes back, and as we even mentioned this a little bit Wednesday night, that there was angels having relations with mankind and developing these superheroes. And there's these gods that you can have relationships with. Listen to me, that is from the depths of hell. That is no such thing. There's no angels. Angels do not have a sexuality. The only beings that have a sexuality is that are found in this human kingdom. God established it for man and the human physical kingdom that we have here. God is the one that designed that. Outside of the human kingdom, there are no genders. That's what the Bible teaches. There are no Greek goddesses. There's none. And so he's telling you have to turn away from these because they're empty. They're vanity. They're not true. There's only one God. And he is the creator. The Bible says there's one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, 1 Timothy 2:5. So We must believe in creation and salvation only through Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, I don't want to believe that. I want to believe that we evolved and we're going to continue to evolve. So you're rejecting the biblical message. If you're rejecting the biblical message, don't expect to receive the benefits of God. You cannot receive the benefits of God, the benefits of a creator God, and reject his message. Listen to me. Stop believing what the world says. Stop believing what the psychologists say. And understand that the Bible says that there is one God. And there's only one mediator between God and man, and that's the man Christ Jesus. And that one God is a creator God, and he created all things. And he's very much in control. That's the message. Well, verse 16, we find he continues, and he's making sure that they understand these messages, the message of God. Verse 16. Who in times past suffered all nations to walk in their own ways. If you would do a historical research on the people of this planet and take it all the way back at some point, they would have had an opportunity to believe, first of all, in the God of Israel. Because Israel in the Old Testament was a type of, not the church, but as a type of the church, and it represented the Creator God to the rest of the world. The rest of the world, the rest of the known world understood that there was a God in Israel that was more powerful than any other so-called small letter G gods. And when Israel was in the will of God, there was no other nation any more powerful than Israel. Amen. Which was a testimony to the world, a testimony to all humanity. But God says, I will not force belief on any people. All people, all nationalities will have opportunity to choose what they believe. All nations. For some 2,000 years now, we've had the New Testament church. And the New Testament church has stood to represent the teachings of Jesus Christ. But the world has to choose. All nations will choose. Can I tell you, the Islamic faith has chosen not to believe in Jesus Christ. They have chosen to turn their back on biblical truth. And not only the Islamic faith, but that's the most known in the generation that we're living in today, but all other faiths that deny Jesus Christ and this Bible as the very words of God have turned away from God, have rejected the biblical message of God. That's just history. But every nation and every individual throughout this New Testament church age will have an opportunity to either receive or reject the person of Jesus Christ. Wow. So we find here that God allows all people to decide for themselves what to believe. Man has a free will, and God allows them to exercise that free will. Salvation is not forced. It must be desired. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. It's not for whosoever is raised in church. It's not whosoever parents are saved. Whosoever belongs and is a member of the Baptist church. Whosoever does whatsoever. It doesn't matter. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that whosoever of their own free will desires salvation, believes in Jesus Christ, and confesses that they're in need of a Savior and that they're on their way to a devil's hell, and they call upon the name of the Lord to be saved. Listen to me. That's the only way that a person can get saved. You have to desire to get saved. No one is going to be carried to heaven fighting and fussing and rejecting. It's not going to happen. Everyone that's going to go to heaven has chosen of their own free will to believe and to receive the message. Yeah. The last thing that he presents to them, this is what they're rejecting. They wanted to add them as small letter G gods because they wanted the benefits. They wanted more healing. They wanted more miracles. But at the end, they reject the message. And when you reject the message, you can't have the benefits. The last one, verse 17. Nevertheless, he left not himself without witness. I love that. A witness in the Old Testament? A witness even before he destroyed the earth with water for the flood. The antediluvian age, there was a witness all the way up until the day that he had Noah shut the door, they shut the door to the ark. There was a witness. And everyone outside of that ark rejected the message. It happened in the Old Testament, and it's happening now for some 2,000 years in the New Testament. The church that Jesus Christ established has the biblical message. So many are rejecting it. So he says, nevertheless, he left not himself without witness, and that he did good and gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. God has always left man a way to find him. You have to seek him. But if you're seeking the Lord, God has always left a way to be found. Humanity must turn its back on the natural to reject God. I've not seen that as clearly in any other point in human history as we're seeing this in America today. That which is should be in anybody with any natural ability to see God and creation and man and woman and what God designed for the family and what God designed for the church. How can we blind our eyes to the natural to turn from the message of God and believe a lie? But that's what's happening today. It's happened then. They rejected the Bible message and stoned the messenger. And stoned the messenger because they didn't want to repent. Because the Bible message is you have to repent. You have to acknowledge that you're going in a wrong direction. You have to acknowledge that you're lost and on your way to a devil's hell. And there's only one plan that God has to redeem you. And you have to turn from whatever it was that you're following after and turn to a true Creator God and His plan of salvation through the precious blood of His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. Yeah. What we need to do today, three quick things. Learn the Bible. You can reject all other messages. Do not reject the message of the Bible. It's God's message. Gain biblical conviction from what the Bible says. Biblical conviction is what the Holy Spirit of God will convict you over. What is truth? Learn the Bible, gain biblical conviction, and then establish biblical standards to live by. That's God's purpose and that's God's plan. If you receive the message, praise God, you can have the benefits. Heaven is available to all that will believe in Jesus Christ and call upon Him. Answer to prayer is available to everyone who believes that God established prayer for His children. And as we are obedient to God's command, God will answer our prayers. All things work together for good. I can know no matter what happens in my life, God is working because I love God. I want the benefits, but I can't have them without the message. If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed. Don't reject the message. God has written it down, preserved it for us, that we might always have opportunity to know the truth. Truth is not going to change. This New Testament church age, it's not changed. The Bible is relevant more today than ever before. Do not reject its message. Father, we bow before You. We love You, Lord, and thank You for loving us. We thank You for the truths of Your Word. And Lord, I don't know what's going on in the hearts and the minds of those that are here today. This is the message that You no doubt wanted me to preach. You knew who was going to be here before they even knew they were coming. I pray that they would open up, each one of us would have an open heart and mind to receiving it. And then making whatever decisions that need to be made. Maybe we have based our salvation on something other than the blood of Christ. I pray if that's the case that we would see people come today and receive You and be saved. Maybe we have established our lifestyle and how we live based upon philosophies and human reasoning and not the Word of God. I pray, God, if that's true, that we would reject that and receive the very words of God to establish a standard by which we are to live by. God, only You know what decisions need to be made. And I pray that they would be made right now. In Jesus' name, amen.